Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. So we have ended our series looking at God in the valley of our life, but it's going to lead to our next series as we think about God with us, so what? So we just consider that God is with us during the worst parts of our lives, and we recognise too that God is with us during the best times of our lives, and in every time in between. But what impact does that truly have on us? What are we going to do in response to this knowledge? So our series heading for the next few weeks is Emmanuel, so what? And this week we consider one of the most obvious answers to that question of so what, that of praise. God is with us always, so let's praise him. So I want to read from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name for ever and ever. So I really struggled to find a passage to reflect on as we think about our need and desire to praise the God who is with us. Not because there aren't many to choose from, but because there are so many options to choose from. The book of Psalm alone has so many psalms that are dedicated to praising God, and so it was hard to pick a passage to focus on. But I chose to focus on Psalm 145, which is titled A Psalm of Praise, and so this seemed apt. This is a beautiful psalm that calls us to praise God, reminding us of some of the reasons to praise him and glorifies his greatness. One interesting thing that I want to note right at the beginning is that this psalm is written in a very special way. David deliberately wrote this psalm as an acrostic, a literary device where the first letter of each line is the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. I really love this for a number of reasons. Firstly, it's a reminder that God is so big that we could have a whole list of reasons to praise him, starting at letter A and going on all the way to Z, and still have endless reasons to praise God. I don't know if this was David's reason for writing it like this, but it kind of feels like David was making a list of ways and things to praise God for. I also love this because of a game I used to play when I was younger. When I was a kid, if I ever had trouble getting to sleep because I was feeling anxious or nervous about something, My mum would tell me to play a game in my head where I would list items in a category from A to Z. So, for example, the category might be animals. So I'd start to list as many animals beginning with the letter A as I could before moving on to the letter B. And eventually I'd fall asleep. But I like the idea that David might have used the psalm like I used that game as a way to help him in his times of distress and anxiety. I obviously have no evidence to suggest he did, but I like to think it happened like that. But regardless of whether David did indeed use the psalm like that, we can. It might be a helpful exercise to consider creating your own version of an acrostic of praise, where you list reasons to praise God starting at letter A and going all the way to Z. This reminds us that our God is such an awesome God who is deserving of praise for so many reasons that we cannot cover them all. We can praise God through the alphabet. And this also reminds us that we should praise God whatever we are experiencing, whatever we are feeling. Having a list of reasons to praise God can help us when we are struggling to praise Him because of what we're experiencing at the moment. David writes, "Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever." He doesn't say, "I'll praise you when I feel like it," or "I'll only praise you when there's something I want to praise you for." And this is the point. There is always something to praise God for, a vast list that goes beyond A to Z. There have been so many times in my life where I haven't felt like praising God. I can remember one particular incident when I was at college training for ministry. We were all in the chapel for our regular time of praise and worship, and I was feeling broken. My body was screaming at me in pain, my brain was overwhelmed with all the trials of life, and my emotions were all over the place from various things that had affected me. As everyone got to their feet to praise, I remember thinking, "See, this is another reason, another way that you're different and not fit for purpose. You can't get to your feet to praise like everyone else can." So I was feeling pretty rubbish. But at that moment, God met me. He showed me that He is with me at all times, even when everything seems hopeless and painful. And then I remembered that praising God isn't just something we do when things are good and we want to praise Him. It's something we choose to do, even when life is hard. We praise God for so many things, and this includes praising Him for being with us even when things are hard. And as God was helping me with this, the worship turned to the song Broken Vessels, where the first line says, "All these pieces, broken and scattered, in mercy, gathered, mended and whole." As I was feeling broken, God was reminding me that He gathers the pieces and mends them into something beautiful. We can praise God even when we don't feel like praising Him. So praise is such an important response when we think about God being with us. Something else that's important, that's why it's important for us to praise, is because all too often we make life all about us. We shrink our focus down to our wants, our needs, our feelings, our desires. We put ourselves and our opinions and desires first. But if we are honest with ourselves, this me-ism, this me-focused lifestyle does not produce happiness or joy. It does not allow for healthy relationships. By focusing on ourselves, we are never content, thankful or satisfied. And this me-focused perspective certainly does not leave room for acknowledging and worshipping something bigger and better than ourselves. Psalm 145 challenges this me-focused life and reminds us that we are made to live and worship God, not ourselves. To love and worship God, not ourselves. Throughout the psalm, the focus is placed on God. Many of the lines say, "The Lord is," or "The Lord does something." The Lord is the primary focus of the psalm. David writes, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." When we talk about something being unfathomable, we are actually using a nautical measure of depth. Fathoms are a unit of measurement equal to 6 feet and are used to describe how deep something is at sea. So when we talk about God's greatness being unfathomable, we are saying that you can dive deeper and deeper and deeper, but still never reach the depth of his greatness. God is so great that no one can fathom the vastness of his greatness. His glory is such that we could spend eternity researching into his greatness and never get to the bottom of it. What an amazing picture that is. This is who we should be praising instead of ourselves. When we reduce our lives to focusing on me, myself, and I, then we become thieves, stealing the attention away from the one who truly deserves it. Not only does the greatness of God refer to him being bigger, more vast than we can imagine, but it also refers to the amazing goodness of God. David continues praising God for his greatness by turning to his goodness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. This line is deliberately written to stand out from the rest of the psalm, as it's in its own stanza. David wanted to draw attention to the greatness of God, not just in his vastness, but in his graciousness, his compassion, the great riches of his love. In essence, David says, yes, God's glory and majesty is great, but so too is his heart, so too is his goodness and love. Some people have a negative image of God as some kind of cruel puppet master or distant and unapproachable dictator. But David's psalm makes it clear that this is not true. God's goodness is far greater than any human goodness. As David writes, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And David continues throughout the psalm to list some of the ways that God is great. His faithfulness, his trustworthiness, the way he upholds all who fall, his righteousness, his generosity as he opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. When we find ourselves thinking only of ourselves and our own interests, let us remember to lift our eyes and look to God. Use this psalm and others like it to help point our praise to the one who is greater than us. Focus your attention on the one who deserves all praise. And thirdly, as we consider the greatness of God, this should overflow into our lives. God is so awesome that our praise of him should overflow from our personal devotion to him to our relationships with other people. In this psalm, David makes clear that God's greatness is not to be kept to ourselves. We are to share the wonders of God so that others may join in the praise. He says, "One generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts." David reminds us to tell others about God, to share our stories with other people so that they too can see how great our God is and want to celebrate him too. We have such an awesome, holy God who is always with us. His character alone is enough reason to praise and worship him. But then we add in all the things he does for us and we are filled with endless praise. When we live in a world that seems plagued by fears and doubts, when our news screens are always filled with horror, war, death and disaster, it's important that we share our stories of good news, of how God has worked in our lives, how he has saved us, how he has provided for us, These are stories that we can share with our friends and family that can help restore hope and light to a world that seems full of darkness and despair. What has happened to you in the past week that you want to praise God for? How can you share a story of that with someone who needs to hear it? Is there someone God has placed in your life that you need to share your stories of God with? Let us follow the example of David and tell of the glory of God's kingdom and speak of his might, so that all people may know of his mighty acts and the glorious splendour of his kingdom. We need to tell others of God's goodness, because he is so worthy of all our praise and all the praise of the world. But as part of telling of the glory to each other, we also need to join in praise with one another. I've heard lots of people say, "I believe in God, but I don't go to church," or "I don't need to go to church to meet with God." Many people believe that it is enough to worship God in isolation. But the thing is, we are often much more likely to do something, anything, if we're with other people. How much more likely are you to do something if someone joins you in it? So often, if someone says they don't need church because they worship God on their own, the reality is they rarely do actually worship and praise God on their own. We are much more likely to actually follow through with something if there are other people with us. Worshipping together can also allow us to worship in ways that we cannot do on our own. God calls us together so that we can worship and praise him and connect with him in one way or another. And being together is one of those ways we can connect with God. God created the diversity and beauty of humanity, and we can see God in each other. So when we join together, we are able to worship God because of each other, as well as with each other. God created us to be in relationships. God is a relational God who wants a relationship with each one of us. But he also created us to have relationships with one another. We are a family, uniting together as a strong, loving unit under God. Another image that God uses to refer to us is the body of Christ. A part of the body can't just declare, "I don't need you," and go off on its own. We need to continue to worship and praise God as a united body of people under Christ our head. And also, part of the reason we are called to worship and praise together is because we are much more vulnerable on our own. As we pray together and as we praise God, we strengthen and encourage one another. Satan is much more likely to attack us if we always remain apart from other believers. But when we are with others, we can support each other and stay strong and focused on God. Let me tell you a story that illustrates this. In what feels like a lifetime ago, when I was at school, we were encouraged to run a race for charity. Now, I'm sure you can imagine, but running isn't something I have never enjoyed, but I wanted to complete this run, as it was a charity event, and I would have been disappointed in myself if I didn't finish it. There were also some younger children trying to run the race as well. All of us were struggling, and we wanted to give up. But I was determined that we would finish the race. So I grabbed the younger girl's hand and we all ran, holding hands. We made it to the finish line and finished the race, still hand in hand. I'm sure that if we had continued to run separately from each other, we would have given up and fallen away. But because we had each other to lean on, we were able to run the race and finish it together as a team. So David writes, "Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." So let's praise God together and be strengthened as we speak of his gloriousness to those around us. Let us be willing to praise God with all of our heart, regardless of what we're feeling at the moment, regardless of how we might want to praise him or not. And let's praise someone who is much greater than us. God has given us so many reasons to praise him, far more than just a list of A to Z. Let's praise him because he is worthy of all our praise. Let's spend a moment in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you so much. I could carry on praising you for eternity and never run out of things to worship you for. But we praise you for who you are and what you've done for us. God, help us to remember to praise you even when life is hard, when we don't feel like praising. Help us to remember to praise you because you are so much bigger than us, so much greater, and you deserve all our praise. And Lord, let our praise flow out of just our personal devotional life into the life we live among other people, so that other people can hear how wonderful you are as we share stories of your greatness. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.